Welcome from Tiffin Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Well, good morning, church. Man, thank you for being faithful this morning on this beautiful morning that God has given us. It's absolutely gorgeous out. I told Pastor John this week that we appreciated how welcome you guys made us feel last week when we came. And we're excited to be here again this morning and to open God's Word with you once again. We're going to continue your series that you guys have been working through from the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter 11 this morning. Before I start, I want to make a correction from something I said last week. It has bothered me all week from the time I realized it until this morning. Last week we said that Jesus was only 2 miles from where Lazarus was. And as I was listening to the message online, I always try to listen to my messages just to see where I messed up. Jesus was actually 20 miles from where Lazarus was. It seems that if you leave a zero out of your notes, it makes exactly 18 miles difference. So I just wanted to confess and correct that this morning, and I feel so much better about that. Now, confession is good for the soul, amen? All right, last week we looked at how God's purpose is always to build our faith. His purpose in everything he does is to build our faith. And we focused in on this thought. God knows that if our faith is weak or filled with doubts, our works will never be strong. And we're going to continue with that thought this morning as we look at 3 levels of faith and God's preparing work in each of those levels. So we're going to start John chapter 11, and we're going to pick up in verse 17. It says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days." He'd already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So Jesus was making his way to Bethany, and the news quickly reached Mary and Martha. And we read that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And that's very important to the storyline. He had been in the tomb for 4 days. You see, the Jews believed that the soul remained in the body for 3 days after death. When a person died, their soul actually remained in their body for 3 days. That was a Jewish belief that they had. During that time, it was possible for the body to revive. Often, a tomb would be left unsealed when someone passed away. They would put someone in the tomb, and they would leave the tomb unsealed for 3 days so that relatives could come and visit the body and check for signs of life, because they believed it was possible that they could be sleeping or something going on other than actually being dead. So they wanted to make sure before they sealed the tomb. So John's note that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days means that the tomb had been sealed and that there was absolutely no hope of life. When Martha hears of his arrival, she immediately heads for Jesus. And this is where we're going to pick up our message this morning. The first faith that we are going to see today is confident faith. There is a confident faith, starting in verse 20. "So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Martha's statement about seeing Lazarus again in the resurrection was based in her Jewish faith. The resurrection of the dead is a core doctrine in Jewish theology. They believed that during the reign of the Messiah, there were several things that were going to take place. Number one was that Rome would be vanquished. When the Messiah came, who Martha believed Jesus to be, when the Messiah came, he would vanquish the Romans. They would be free again. The Romans would be gone. They believed that the temple would be rebuilt. Very important thing in Jewish history. The temple would be rebuilt. Third, they believed that all of the exiled Jews would be gathered from all around the world. So those were some of the things that they were looking for the Messiah to do. But the culmination of the Messiah's reign, the last day that Mary mentioned, or Martha mentions as she's talking to Jesus, the last day, the bodies of the dead would be brought back to life and reunited with their souls. That was the Messiah that the Jews were looking for. Incredible power, incredible strength, incredible leadership, doing all of these great things for the Jewish nation. There's two key statements from Martha's response to Jesus when her world was upside down. We have to remember, at this time, everything was upside down for Mary and Martha. Their brother Lazarus had gotten sick and died just a couple days ago. So their world was upside down at this point. Two key phrases. She said, "I know," and "I believe." I know, and I believe. The trouble is, sometimes when our world is upside down, we struggle with what to believe, don't we? When things get crazy in our lives, sometimes we can struggle with what to believe. I thought about the story of Jairus. Many of you remember the story of Jairus from back in the book of Mark, chapter 5. Jairus was a leader of the synagogue. He was one of the rulers of the synagogue who had done some great things for the Jewish people. And if you remember the story right, he had a daughter, young daughter about 12 years old, who had gotten very ill. And he was so worried about her. He heard about Jesus and all of the great things that Jesus was doing. So he set out to find Jesus. And he found him, and he said, "My daughter is sick to the point of death. Will you come down to my home and lay your hands on her so that she can recover?" And Jesus agreed. So they started going along. There were a couple interruptions along the way, but they're getting to the house, and in Mark chapter 5, verses 35 and 36, the story picks up. It says, "While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" Can you imagine this man? Jesus is coming to his house. He agreed to come. This healer is going to come, and he's going to lay his hands on her, on his daughter, and she was going to be cured. I mean, just the excitement, the confidence that he had that Jesus was actually coming, and all of a sudden, here come these people from his home, and they said, "Hey, it's too late. She's gone." In an instant, his world was flipped upside down. But as the story goes on, "But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not fear, only believe.'" And as I read this, I try to imagine this man standing there listening to the words of Jesus and going, "Do not fear, only believe. Only believe what? She's dead. What am I supposed to believe at this point? Believe what? You know, there are times when we don't know what to believe. It's then, like Martha, that our faith has to be based in what God's Word tells us is true. When everything's upside down, when we don't know what to believe, when we don't know what to think, we don't understand, we have to believe what the Word of God tells us. Martha's testimony is powerful. Everything about this story, everything that we've read so far, seems like Jesus had let Mary and Martha down by not healing Lazarus. Doesn't it? I mean, Jesus could have merely spoken the word and Lazarus would have been healed. He didn't even have to leave where he was. He heard about Jesus, he heard about Lazarus and what was going on, and he just stayed there for two more days. Mary and Martha had to have struggled with that. Why didn't he just say the word and heal Lazarus? Everything just was so difficult for them to understand. But Martha was confident in what she believed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen." To Martha, regardless of the circumstances, Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And that was where her hope and that was where her faith was going to stay. I know and I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah who is to come. She had a confident faith. Then there was Mary. Mary had a little bit of a struggling faith at this point. We pick Mary's story up in verse 28. It says, "When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept." Struggling faith, it's where many Christians spend most of their lives. There are so many Christians today who spend their lives just struggling with their faith. We see this in the life of Mary. Did Mary believe the same things that Martha believed? Probably so. Probably so. We've read that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. It's possible that there was more to the conversation, but as we read the scripture, Mary only seems to express disappointment. She came to Jesus weeping. She fell at his feet and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Her faith was struggling. I read a quote one time that's always stuck with me. It says, "No matter how strong faith is, faith must always be tested." No matter how strong faith is, faith must always be tested. And it kind of goes along with what we said last week, that God will never leave us where we are in our faith. The purpose of a test is to make our faith stronger. Sometimes we struggle in those tests, don't we? How many of you like to be tested? Man, I am looking forward to God putting me through a test this week. I can't wait. No, there's none of us that look forward to that, because tests are difficult. They're always a challenge. A test can weaken or a test can strengthen our faith. It can weaken or it can strengthen our faith. Sometimes we struggle in those tests, don't we? And there's so many things that can affect the outcome of a test. And as I read this, it kind of occurred to me that for Mary, it could have been the people who were with her. It said there were a number of people who followed her to where Jesus was. When she jumped up and ran out of the room, there were a bunch of people that got up and they followed her to where Jesus was. And some of those people who followed Mary to Jesus would have probably been professional mourners. It would have been mourners. In Middle Eastern culture, when someone passed away, there were people who would travel to the home of the person who died to mourn with the family. They'd go just to mourn with them. They would lament, they would cry, they would shout out loud so that people knew that a loved one had passed away. The more influential a person was, which it seems Lazarus was, the more influential they were, the more mourners they hired. They would stay with the family for 5 to 7 days, and their only job was to mourn. They would mourn with the family for almost a week. They'd lament, they'd cry, they'd carry on. The Greek word that's translated weeping here literally means loud crying or lamentation. Basically, they were pitching a fit all week for the family and for the person who had passed away. Could you imagine what it would be like going through a test or a trial, and everywhere you went, there was a group of people who just followed you, mourning and lamenting and carrying on and crying. Everywhere you went, they just follow you, crying and carrying on. Is it possible that we do that sometimes when we're going through a trial? When we're going through a trial, the people that we surround ourselves with will have a direct effect on the duration and the outcome of the trial. Would you agree that when we're going through a test, when we're going through a trial, the people that we surround ourselves with in the middle of that trial can pull us up or they can hold us down? It can make a huge difference. You see, the voices of the people following Mary were a powerful reminder of her tragic loss and the finality of death. Would the conversation have gone any differently if Mary and Jesus were alone? Man, I believe it would have. That's an easy question to answer, because any time we can make the effort to be alone with God, to hear His voice and His voice only, we're going to benefit from that. Anytime we can be alone with God, where we can get into His Word, we can hear His words speaking to us, it's going to make a huge difference in the outcome of our test. The Bible teaches us that there is a way of escape, but escaping always takes effort. No one has ever escaped a trial by sitting comfortably in the middle of it. So the next time we find ourselves in a trial, we need to ask ourselves, are the things that I'm doing, are the people that I'm walking through this with, are they building my faith or are they fueling my doubts? If I'm walking through a test, if I'm walking through a trial, I want somebody alongside me that's going to build me up, that's going to walk with me through that trial. I want to be in a position where I can hear God's word clearly. God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to tell me? What changes do you want me to make in my life? And if I surround myself with people who are struggling with the same thing, or worse, what difference is that going to make in the outcome? The people and the things that we do during the trial are going to affect the outcome. So we've got confident faith, we've got struggling faith, and we've got rejected faith. Verses 36 and 37. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? For many of the Jews who had come to mourn with Mary and Martha, their lack of faith was based in what God didn't do rather than what he could do. And haven't we asked that at some point? Look at verse 36. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. Verse 37. But some of them said, could not he? Have we ever been at that point? God, couldn't you have done something? God, why didn't you do something? And the thing is, nobody that was present that day expected a miracle to the extent of what happened next. All they could see was just the difficult circumstances in front of them. And the truth is, when we're going through a test, when we're going through a trial, especially if it's a really difficult one, we've all probably run through all three of those scenarios. Man, there's times when we're going through a trial that our faith is strong. God's got this. I know He does. I know God's got this. Things get a little rougher. God, have you got this? We falter a little bit. Or even to the point of, God, couldn't you have done something? Why have you left me here in this trial? We can run through all three of those scenarios just in the trials that we go through. We know people who, because of crushing disappointments, have doubts or they've walked away from God. I've known people throughout my ministry who have got into a trial and for one reason or another, they just chose to walk away from God and from His church. Now, God didn't walk away from them, but they walked away. There's a big difference, however, between struggling with and rejecting faith. There's a big difference there. Even Martha, even her faith, her confident faith, would struggle a little bit as they rolled away the stone. So you read on. They go to the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus says, roll away the stone. And Martha says, But Lord, it's been 4 days. There's nothing that can be done. He's probably starting to decompose at this point. I know and I believe went to, but Lord. So we all can walk through those scenarios where we're confident, where we struggle, where we have doubts. Some people are going to choose not to believe regardless of what they see or hear. There were people that witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. Could you imagine to have been standing there when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Could you imagine that moment? But there were people there that responded by running off to the religious leaders and saying, "Hey, you guys need to do something about this Jesus." That was their response to this great miracle that took place. There were some who chose to write this off as fake. Well, Lazarus really wasn't dead. He was in a coma or something along that line. He was just unconscious. And we missed that he was still breathing. Those who choose to reject God are great at explaining away his work. One liberal commentator wrote this. He wrote about the feeding of the 5,000, one of the great miracles of the Bible. And he said, really, the feeding of the 5,000 was not a miracle at all. He said, all of these people came out to hear Jesus teach, and he believes that all of them brought lunch with them. They all had lunch with them. They just didn't want anybody else to know that they had brought lunch because there wasn't enough to go around. And he said, what happened was when the little boy brought his lunch to Jesus, everybody else was inspired by that, and they got their lunch out and shared it with everybody else. That's what he believed. The real miracle that day, he said, was that Jesus taught them to overcome their selfishness. And I remember sitting there reading that, and it's like they just reduced Jesus to a really good preschool teacher teaching a lesson on sharing. That was their whole take on Jesus. Where's our hope? Where do we draw strength? What does our future hold if Jesus is just a good teacher? Here's where Martha found hope, in the middle of her trial, in the middle of the test that she was going through. Here's where she found hope. She said, "I know and I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." So where does that leave us? Here's one of the best descriptions of faith. Remember, God is always trying to build our faith. Faith is believing that God will do what He said He will do. What our faith is based in makes all the difference. Our faith has to be based in the fact that God has said it and He's going to do it. And it's going to make a huge difference when we face those times of trial. I remember years ago I heard an evangelist tell a story. He was a teacher at Hiles Anderson College in Indiana. And he said he had a student in his class. They called him Woohoo. That was the nickname they had for him. They called him Woohoo. He was from Texas. And he said, just honestly, Woohoo wasn't the sharpest crayon in the box. But he said he had this habit. Whenever he got excited about the Word of God, whenever he got excited about the promises of God, he'd be reading and he just get excited. He'd just shout out in the middle of class because he would just be so excited about the promises of God. And he said, Woohoo had a little trouble in school, and honestly, he was about to fail one of his classes. It was a class that this guy was teaching. And it came final exam time. And he knew that if Woohoo didn't pass this test, he was going to fail the class. He said the test day came and everybody took the test, and he took the test home and graded them that night. And sure enough, Woohoo failed the test. Failed the class. He said he was passing out the test to the students. He said, "Woohoo, I'm sorry, but you got an F on the test, and you're going to have to do the class over again." He said he was a little dejected, and everybody got out and started walking down the hall, and all of a sudden in the hallway he heard, "That's going to be really rough for the people listening to the podcast, but that's okay." He said he jumped up and he went out in the hall and he looked, said, "Woohoo, what are you so excited about?" He says, "I may not be very smart. God loves me and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven one day." And he said, "Woohoo, you couldn't have got a better grade than that. I know what I believe. I'm confident in it. I'm going to stand on that." Confident faith, struggling faith, rejected faith. All three are present in this text. As we look at the Scripture, we can see all three of these at work. But the most encouraging thing for us is that God was working in all three levels of faith. He didn't leave any of them where they were. Martha had this confident faith. Mary was struggling a little bit. Some of the Jews that were there had doubts. But they all witnessed the raising of Lazarus. They all got to see the miracle Jesus worked in all of their lives. Do you think Martha's strength, do you think her faith was further strengthened by the resurrection of Lazarus? I have to imagine that Martha was just a little more confident than before when Jesus raised her brother from the dead. Do you think that Mary's strength was reaffirmed a little bit when she saw what happened? "Oh yeah, right. He's Jesus. He's my friend." The doubters that were there that day had an incredible witness done in their lives. Now, because of free will, how they responded was their choice. Would they grow? Would they remain the same? Or would they die in their doubts? It was on them what they did with it. So have every head bowed this morning. Let me ask this. Where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? It's possible this morning that someone in this room is going through a test. Even today, they're going through a trial. God is not going to leave you alone in that test. He's going to work in your life. He's going to walk with you through it. He's not going to leave you where you are in your faith. What choice will you make? Will you make the choice to grow, to be stronger? Or will you stay the same? Or worse yet, step back in your faith? Father, I pray for the people in this room. I know that each of us face trials on a daily basis. I pray that as you work in our lives, Father, help us to see your work. Help us to seek your word. Help us to surround ourselves with people who will build us up and make us stronger and walk with us through the trial. Because we know when we do that, you're going to give us a testimony that will glorify you in what we do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
From Tiffin Baptist Church, thank you for listening to this sermon. Our Sunday service starts at 10:45, and we'd love to have you join us.